The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be greatly blessed as you are impacted by this powerful word of God from Christ Way Ministries International. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened as you experience the power in the word of God. God bless you.
Today, I've been asked to discuss with you altar etiquettes. Altar etiquettes. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you once again for this morning, for the opportunity given to us to share your word together. Lord, I pray that you give me the grace to share your word and not my heart in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your word bless every life that is present, that is listening to this word, and even me, the speaker, in the name of Jesus Christ. At the end, let your name be glorified in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Time given to me is not much. And I have to confess to you that when I prepared this message, it was more than 8 pages, single line spacing. But I will do some introduction and we go directly even to the message, which I call altar etiquettes. I have said that I want to talk about the meaning of the altar and looking at description of the altar and the lights. But I'll be brief on this very introductory part of the message. Altar etiquettes. When we are talking about altar in the Old Testament, it means something else from what we have now under the new dispensation that we call the New Testament period. But let me just give this brief description. Altar means an elevation or high place, not the site but the erection on them, which could be built or removed. That one could be confirmed in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 7, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 15. It also means any structure of hearth or unwrought, that is, unhewn stone on which sacrifices were offered. Altars were generally erected in conspicuous spaces so that people can see and worship there. That is in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 8 verse 20, we read of altar erected by Noah. We read of altars erected by Abraham, by Isaac, by Jacob, and by Moses. And that is where Moses said Jehovah Nishi. In the tabernacle and afterwards in the temple, there were two altars erected. The altar was at the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. We have that confirmed in Exodus chapter 40 verse 29. That is altar. Before I go to the description of altar, look at the two words, altar etiquettes. When we are talking about etiquettes, what does it mean? Etiquettes means code of polite behavior in society or among a certain group of people or among people who engage in certain profession. That is what we call etiquette. Moral behavior. And that one will tell you the sequential order of the messages that we have been listening to in this very place. The last message we had yesterday has to do with what? Moral stances, moral behavior. description of the altar. In the tabernacle, it was comparatively small and portable. In shape, it was square. It has 5 cubits in length and the same in breadth and 3 cubits high. It was made of planks of shittim, that is acacia, wood overlaid with brass. Round the altar, midway between the top and the bottom, ran a projecting ledge on which perhaps the priest stood when officiating. Now, let me talk about types of altar because of our time. There are 2 types of altars, namely the physical and the spiritual. When we are talking about physical altars, they are the altars that one can see with natural eyes and you can touch them physically. The physical altars can also be subdivided into 2, namely the altar of God and the altar of demons. But today we are talking about altar etiquettes among the children of God. The physical altars that is of God is where we children of God, we commune with God, we receive the blessings, we become revitalized in God's presence. And corollarily, the altar of demons are the altars where the devilish people perpetrate evil, they commune with devil, which is their masters. Nowadays, many satanic altars are disguised to look like the altar of God to confuse even the believers. So, brethren, beware of demonic altars that are imitating the activities of the altar of God to mislead even the elect. You can distinguish between the altar of God and the altar of demons by the contents of the altar and mode of worship. The contents of the altar of God may consist of any of all these items. We have hymn books, we have the Holy Bible, we have the bell of salvation, and perhaps in many churches they can have cross. They will be blessing people in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and plead to God with the grace received through Christ. And they will never call any other name in order to pray for the people of God. The spiritual altars too can be subdivided into 2, namely the spiritual altar of God and that of the devil, like I said. And the spiritual altar cannot be seen with one's eyes because there is no erection, but it could be a place whereby it has been demarcated or it has been assigned or designed where you can communicate with God. In the Old Testament, we have examples of altars. We have Noah's altars, like I said, Abraham's altar, Isaac's altar, Jacob's altar, and Mosaic altar, David's altar, Daniel's altar, and Elijah's altar in the Old Testament. Maybe I need to say this. If you want the full text of the message, I can give it to you. I can send it to you. Because you might not see most of these things in the pamphlet that you are holding. New Testament altars, or the altar in Christianity, that is what we want to deal with today. In the New Testament, an altar is that place of contact with God. Why? You are no longer commanded to build physical altar, but spiritual ones of prayers, praises, and worship unto God. Jesus Christ is considered as the ultimate sacrifice that puts us right with God and is ever making intercession for us. And as such, we do not require any further sacrifice of material things, either of ram or bull or chicken or whatever. Nothing like that is required under the New Testament when we are referring to the altars of God. What we require now is offering unto God fervent praises, worship, prayers, supplications, and those things must be unto God in spirit and in truth. That is why Jesus Christ said, they that worship God, they worship God in the spirit and in truth. The examples of New Testament altars we can hear, Jesus and the disciples at the mountain of transfiguration, Jesus at the garden of Gethsemane, the disciples at the upper room, fellowship gathering of disciples after persecution, Peter and at Joppa's house tour, disciples at the church in Antioch, Paul and Silas even while in the prison. You can erect that spiritual altar wherever you are, because it is a place whereby you commune with God, whereby your life is transformed and transfigured. The altar in the home life of those early days helped to produce a sense of sin, a realization of God's holiness, and a knowledge that the way of approaching to God was through a sacrifice of praise and life of holiness and purity. What is the main purpose of the altar? Altar is erected for the offering of sacrifice. In some instances, they appear to have been only memorials in the Old Testament. An altar is a place of prayer or worship of God. It is a contact place with the spirit world. It is a place of discussion, dialogue, communication with the spiritual powers. It is a place of spiritual sacrifice or the making of covenants with God. God blesses his people at the altar of prayer. And I want to say this emphatically. The foundation for a successful Christian life and ministry is rooted in the altar of prayers. What are the blessings of the altar? At the altar of God, prayers are answered faster. That is the truth. We've had many people will come here and say that yes, they came here after the service, they knelt down here before this altar, they prayed, and God answered them speedily. The altar is the place where the angels and the host of heaven will first descend before the congregation can witness the manifestations and wonders of God. Which means, any prayer offered at the altar or close to it will be answered promptly. Don't joke with it. Don't see it as a myth or just mere story. Hence, build the altar of God in your churches for his name and his name alone to be honored and be remembered, so that he will come to you and bless you. According to Exodus chapter 20 verse 24, that an altar of earth shall you make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. That was in the Old Testament. In every place where I record my name, that is God speaking unto us as his children, I will come to you and bless you. And I want to say, as you have come here today, the Lord is coming unto you and he will bless you in the name of Jesus. Since the churches and the holy mountains are the places that God set aside for people to worship him, then it is inevitable for you to keep the altars in your churches and holy mountains sacred if you want God to reveal his glory in your midst and display his awesome power among you. That is why it is necessary to discuss the right attitude, the right posture, the right behavior when we are talking about the altar of God. Remember what happened when David built there an altar to the Lord, an offer burnt offerings and peace offering. So the Bible says, the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. As children of God, if we come to God in holiness, in purity, in oneness and unity, and we call up in oneness and unity, I'm still coming there. The Lord can remove any plague. The Lord can unseat any devilish throne. The Lord can destroy every power militating against our peace and joy, if only we can come together in unity and love at the altar of God. Now, let me go to the altar etiquette. I want to start with the presentation of preacher. Whether invited or not invited, even in your church. How do we present the preacher? It is both repugnant and a violation of pulpit etiquette to introduce a preacher in a protracted and flattering manner. This is the man of God. He's an international. He's known all the world. He's on whatever. What was the problem? Because at the altar, we must not exhort human beings more than God, who is going to move. Who is going to empower and enable you. You must not. But many people are stooges. Maybe they want to please one person, one leader, or whatever. And they begin to hum encomiums of the highest order. That God will not just be looking at this. Okay, it is, this is the person that is going to perform miracle here today. Continue. The pulpit is not to be desecrated by indulging in superlatives and hyperboles. To introduce someone as the world's greatest preacher, a nationally or internationally known figure, etc., is out of place at the altar of God. I'm sorry. I just want to speak the word of God, not my own heart. The pulpit is not a place for bogus and empty show of titles, achievements, and credentials as if preachers are politicians whose goal is to impress and oppress their hearers with their worldly achievement. A true minister of God does not even appreciate such remarks. I have seen situations whereby the preacher, after they have hummed encomiums, you say, oh, sorry, that is not for me. Don't kill me. The pulpit is not a place to boast of or to praise the members of pastors, preachers, family. There may be occasions when it will be fitting to do that one. In social gatherings, you can do that one. To say publicly that your wife is the best and most beautiful woman in the world. Do you need that at the altar? When you get home, tell her that. Sing for her. Write poems for her. That is fine. Remember, there are various people in the church. There are people who don't have wives. There are people who are undergoing stress and troubles in their marriages. An altar must be a place of hope, a place of comfort. If people can come to the church and they don't find hope, they don't find comfort, then as ministers, you have failed. Number two, keep the altar holy. Keep the altars holy to make it possible for the angels and the host of heaven to descend into your midst and perform wonders during the services. You must not defy the altar of God if you want him to erase the satanic covenant that has spiritually waged war against you. Look at the songs that we have just sung in the hymn. You know, there are many forces militating against the children of God so that we can become derailed, so that we can become disempowered. And that is why we have to be very careful. The God we are serving, we have to be pleasing him and continue to stand firm every day so that the satanic world will not have power over us. Let holiness be your watchword so that God can renew his covenant in your life. Come before the altar of God with a pure heart and a clear conscience. Have a clean mind before you start performing your duties at the altar of God. It is important that you wash your hands from sins to show that you are innocent, not just with water. Then you can approach the altar of the Lord to worship him. That's according to Psalm 26 verse 6, which says, I will wash my hands in innocence. So, I will go about your altar, O Lord. Do not bring contrary things and perverse people to defy the altar of God. And I bless God for this ministry. You know, we emphasize the issue of invited guests. Who are the people you are inviting? Do you know them? Do you know their ministry? And this ministry usually emphasizes that. Don't just bring somebody that is not known to your area pastor, that is not known to your zona pastor. Don't just bring somebody from somewhere, because you might not know the person very well. Except you know, even if you know the person, the rule here in this ministry is that you must pass through that very channel so that strange fire will not come upon our altars. Prayers at the altar. At the altar, you contest for soul in the first praise of prayer before presenting the message on the altar. Pulpit prayers must come with holy burden and be heartfelt to move others to pray. It should also be reverent, free of vain repetition and any profanation of the name of God. It is not out of... I'm not saying that it is not good to call the name of Jesus once, twice, or three times. That's not what I... But the idea of... What's the problem? What's it? And let me say this. As a child of God and as a culturalist, many of the practices today in the Pentecostal gatherings, they have their roots in Orisha worship. Take it or leave it. But that's the truth. There are many practices. This idea of a minister can just think, everybody, put your hands on your heads now. Be saying it to me. After me. Very, very, very real. Do you know the person you are praising, you are inviting to your altar? Some people can say, yes, and we have changed it. We have Christianized it. Yes, all right. Honestly, there are many things we do like that. There are many songs we sing in Yeti Airport. Abiyamayo, Abiyamoro, Abiyamayo, Abiyamoro. Eshemi lala abiye, kema sokun omo. That Abiyamaye tema. Do you know Abiyamaye? Do you know Abiyamoro? You are inviting the spirit of witches to come. And you now be saying, it is a Christian that sang it. At times they will be saying that you are praising our God, the Almighty God. Inaloju inalenu. Sagonunjebe. Obekisi, besigo. Esulonjebe. No. You see, honestly speaking, use Bible wholeheartedly if you want to worship God. If you know that you don't know the origin of certain dictions, please don't use them. At times, when I'm in some congregations and they are raising some prayers, I just fold my hands. Pray at the altar. And, you know, don't go into things that you don't know the origin and you don't know the meaning. You must have clean and clear conscience when you come to the altar. And that's why Jesus Christ also lay emphasis on the process that will make one's prayers to be answered promptly at the altar. He enlightened us by saying, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Do you know this is a serious matter in the Christendom today? Majority of people who are worshiping together, are they in unity? Are they in oneness? And therefore, we'll be unseating Boko Haram, we'll be unseating bandit. Have they been unseated? We must be one. Let us cleanse our mind. Let us have free mind. Let us be free with one another in the church of God. And we will see the mighty hands of God if we can be. Offering at the altar. Many ministers tell blatant and fabricated lies on the pulpit and testimonies that are exaggerated to make false impressions, deceive innocent members, and to collect fraudulent offerings. Let us be careful. We were told yesterday, when it comes to the issue of money, I am not boasting, I take money as my servant, and I'm his master, and it can never become a demon unto me. The call for the offering from the pulpit must be done in piety, integrity, and dignity. Well, a few appropriate remarks are in order, stating clearly what the offering is for, and quoting a brief statement from the Bible that will encourage and inspire the people to participate in this segment of the service. I remember when one pastor one day, it's like a curse, maybe because I'm a linguist, or say, you don't pay tithe. I can assure you things will be tight for you. Yes, from the pulpit. I was looking at this. What's happening? It's God's money. It's God's money, but who is going to spend it? Are you not the one? Dress code and physical appearance are the altar. Clean yourself. Do you always clean yourself before going to the altar? Or are you among those who are daring or defying God by going to the altar with a dirty and defiled body? You know, many people don't regard altar again. They might have engaged themselves in rough things, in devilish things, in sinful things, and they still come to the altar. Okay. God is watching everybody. Don't be involved in the preparation of communion if you have contagious diseases like flu, cough, catarrh, coronavirus, and so on. Don't take things for granted because it's a form of defilement and you want to prepare things that other people will partake for. Don't say this is an Oyibo style. It is hygienic style. And cleanliness is part of holiness. Dress in a way that befits a representative of the Most High God. Clean and well ironed cloth. Smart, but not too tight on you that you'll be showing your figures. Always adorn yourself moderately when you are going to the altar. Do not distract the congregation with a loud outfit or accessories. Do not wear garments that can expose or reveal your body. Although, the emphasis should be upon the message, but the messenger's appearance is also equally important. It can enhance either the effectiveness or it can be a distraction. Which one do you want to show you? Exodus chapter 28 verse 40 to 43 is a perpetual law. Do not wear any revealing garment whenever you approach the altar to perform your priestly duties. Are we not priests? Royal priesthood? The holy nation? Then when you are approaching the altar, in my church, you know, I usually trouble the choir. You know, we usually see them all. Don't wear boomfu. Don't wear these things and whatever. These things are very, very important. Altar etiquette is telling us that we must be well organized. We must be well structured. We don't do things haphazardly. I'm sorry. And the instrumentalist, you know, when a prayer is being said, why do you need to be playing instrument? Egbami? Why? You know, people should pay thorough attention. They should be in communication with God, with the Holy Spirit of God. We have so many noises today that spirituality is even fading off and activities are replacing spirituality. And if you talk like this, they say, oh, old school. I'm not yet a senior citizen, so I'm not an old school person. Humble yourself at the altar. You must display humility and repentance at the altar of the Lord, since you cannot deceive God because he knows the content of your heart. So, you cannot receive anything from God if you are shedding crocodile tears and there is no genuine repentance. Unless your expression of sorrow is sincere, your sacrifice will not be acceptable unto God at the altar. Hence, let humility and repentance be part of your watch words. You should never lay your hands. Listen to this, please. You should never lay your hands on your leaders or pastor without his or her permissions. Me unifete, yeni hey, pastor, but again, come kneel down here. Let me pray for you. Tabi kinsi asire kete ti mo fe gugi koja ewe kene baba mi o ma boya. I want to pray for you. You know, these things, utter etiquette is telling us that we must be well organized, structured, prepare for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit whenever we assemble to call upon God at the altar. Please, let us be very, very careful. You must never do that, please. Especially today when we have so many Pentecostal pastors, they say, at least they are the one holding microphone. I know there is a kind of, I'm sorry, I don't want to speak negative words. There are kinds of things attached to microphone when you are holding microphone. And that is why, when you are leading prayers, there are things you can say in English that will be acceptable, but you don't say it in Yoruba. So all these things we must watch. I'm still coming to language. I can stop there if I don't have much time. When you are leading prayer and you say, open your mouth and pray. In English, it might be acceptable. But if you say it in Yoruba, it is abusive. It's abusive. So, two ways to doing that is this. You, speaking the English, you can do something to help the interpreter. Let us pray this prayer with seriousness. But when you now say, open your mouth, you are not praying anything, you just close your line. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. These things may look like joke, but honestly speaking, these are things that are causing troubles in our hearts, in our emotions, in our moods. As a preacher, you must respect the time of the congregation. Please, let us listen to this. When I got home yesterday, I told my wife, I said, I thank God for Baba Oyoke. Today, I love the way things happened. Because we were supposed to close at 5, Abby, but Baba closed the meeting at 4. That is extremely wonderful, honestly speaking. Because in many places, especially in villages like mine, you know, people, you have not been seeing so many people in your congregation before, and now maybe there is a wedding, and that is why you now begin revival. Respect people's time. It is very, very important. So when you are invited, ask the time limit that you have. It's very, very good if you can follow that. If you walk within the time. I know one Baba in this church, he walks with time very well. The Lord will continue to help him in Jesus' name. Whatever you are asked to do at the altar, please avoid unnecessary embellishment. In almost all cases, they add no value to spirituality. You cannot preach everything in a single day. You preach tomorrow, you preach some other days. You cannot preach everything. A minister must not rebuke anyone publicly from the pulpit. He cannot call names and insult someone, no matter how strongly she or he feels. Let the preacher honor his Lord, reverence his calling, and bless his people. Don't curse your people. If you want to be enjoying your congregation, don't curse your people, especially during this very hard time. If you abuse me, I will stay in my house. The last thing you will say, he doesn't honor me. The Lord will help us. The preacher must never forget that he or she has not been called to share his heart with his people, but to preach the word of God. Forget your heart. Speak the word of God. Share the word of God with your congregation. Let the preacher not fall prey to the temptation to be transparent to the point that she or he lays stumbling block in the paths of his people. The preacher must say to sir, this is not about me. This is about Jesus Christ. We will all stand before the judgment throne of God. Avoid partisan preaching. Be positive and let your message be full of hope and grace. Never be judgmental. Like the example of Titan that I spoke about the other time. Be sensitive, be inoffensive, and be emphatic. Now, language, presentation, and communication are the altar. Language presentation on the pulpit must not be crude, must not be vulgar, must not be abusive. Let us be very, very careful. Correction and rebuke on the pulpit must be edifying and comforting. Avoid endangering mannerisms such as Develop effective communication. Use good and clear language depending on your audience. If you are speaking Yoruba, speak the Yoruba that people will understand. And if you speak anyone they don't understand, make sure that you make them to understand it. And if you are speaking English, speak correct English, at least to a greater extent. Please, it is very important. We make errors in many situations where we say, it doesn't matter the way I speak my English. It matters, honestly. Because if you are speaking bad English, youths of nowadays, you'll be seeing them be like this. Therefore, you are losing the message, the value of the message. That I never say, Boni. Please, avoid vulgar dictions. Like I say, idle words are not productive. Often, they are counterproductive. Don't turn the pulpit to a jesting ground. Never turn the altar to stages or raise platforms to entertain the congregation. The pulpit is not a stage for performance. It is a place to represent God to the people. Dramatics appeal to the flesh. The flesh should be crucified, not resurrected. Although humor and expressions are not totally forbidden, they will have very little effect on the spirit man. If people, listen to this, ministers of God, if people remember our jokes but not our message, we failed in ministry. Indeed, light humor to articulate a point in the sermon can be perfectly appropriate, but peppering a sermon with flippant off-the-court jokes is a quick way to turn a worship service into a carnival show. It is also good etiquette to avoid delivering a sermon laced with politics from the pulpit, which can alienate members of the congregation and create a tense atmosphere. In conclusion, brethren, glory will manifest only if the altar is holy. Prayer requests can only be answered if and only if the altar is kept holy. And the person that is offering the prayer also have a pure heart and clear conscience. Invariably, for the prayer of the congregation to be answered by the Lord and for him to reveal his glory, the altar must be properly arranged and sanctified. The ministers, pastors must sanctify themselves, choir must sanctify themselves, and praise the Lord with all their strength in manner that will motivate the host of heaven to descend into their midst and reveal the awesome power of God among congregation. There is no religion and spirituality in a filthy person, in uncouth manners, in an inconvenient and strange form of apparel, in bad grammar, and in careless or messy habits. We need to realize that it is not how expensive your musical instruments or how melodious your songs are that will prompt the Lord to reveal his glory in your midst, but It will be based on how organized and how holy the altar of your church is. So, if you want God to reveal his glory and power in your midst, keep the altar holy. Altars don't just mark experiences or places. Altars always come with God's presence, with God's word and promises. It comes with God showing up and intervening with forgiveness, blessings, and worship. What the priests are doing in secret is not hidden before the Lord. God knows what they are doing privately that is against his commandment. The detestable practices of numerous priests can make it impossible for God to manifest his awesome power in their churches. The priests can make it, the disgusting things that the priests are doing at the altar can make the host of heaven to desert and reject their churches. Therefore, brethren, let us engage in things that will attract God's presence at our altars so that we can benefit maximally at the altar of God. God bless you.